Do you want to listen to a story? But just me telling a story may not be that much fun. Listen to thousands of stories and powerful voices for just rupees 499 per month. Rediscover the joy of listening to stories again.
As a special listener, you can enjoy 30 days of free listening by signing up through storytel.in/30days.
Hello and welcome in to another week and another episode of How to Survive in the City. My name is Justin B. Love, and I want to thank you all so much for joining me each and every week. As I try and bring you stories from other New Yorkers just like you and give you a little inspiration of how you can make it through if they can make it through, because we all go through our own struggles in this city. And I tell you what, we've gone through two nor'easters. We're hitting our third this week. It's taken a little something extra to survive in the city this week. And in fact, there's a lot extra that you're going to need, a lot of extra strength, willpower, fortitude to be able to survive in New York City this week, because this is a week and this is a holiday season or holiday weekend that I just absolutely loathe. I despise this and I hate the people that participate in this coming up tradition, and that would be St. Patrick's Day. Now, do I hate Irish people? No, because I don't really know what I am, but I'm white, freckly, pale. I'm probably Irish. So no, I do not hate Irish people. Do I hate St. Patrick's Day? No, I don't hate St. Patrick's Day. In fact, I think there's a lot of fun things you can do on St. Patrick's Day. And no, I don't hate Catholics. Catholics are perfectly fine. There's some nice people, and there's some asshole Catholics, just like everybody else. But I tell you what I do hate. I hate the parade. And New York City has a lot of parades, so it's not just St. Patrick's Day, but the St. Patrick's Day Parade. First off, it just blocks, got almost 40 city blocks, just going up and down Fifth Avenue, past St. Patrick's Cathedral, all the way down to Bryant Park. It's insane. Do you imagine the traffic when you're trying to get places? It just bogs everything down. You hop in an Uber. If you have to cross Fifth Avenue at any point, even if you're not near the parade route, the traffic is so backed up that what takes you a 10-minute journey ends up taking you a 20-minute journey, or possibly 30 minutes. And then with the subways in the state they are, you can't get anywhere on this weekend quickly. So my advice to you is to make plans around your apartment. The second thing I hate, and this is really, there's really only two reasons to hate St. Patrick's Day, and it's the parade, and it's also the drunk, annoying, loud, obnoxious bridge and tunnel folks that come into New York City. That I absolutely cannot stand. And it's not just St. Patrick's Day. I hate Uber drinking holidays in New York City. And I'll tell you why. Especially St. Patrick's Day. First off, there are, I think it was in the New York Post, a study showed there are 203 Irish bars in the city. You think that'd be pretty good to go around? There's only like around 4% of the population in New York City is Irish. I know a lot more people than just Irish people celebrate St. Patrick's Day. But you think there'd be, with 203 especially, you know, Irish pubs, you think you would have, a good number to go around. And I love Irish pubs. Love them. But you know what? There are not enough to go around when you bring in the flood, the tsunami of bridge and tunnel people into the city. You can't get a seat in any Irish bar in the city. It's impossible to get a seat. Irish pubs aren't supposed to be that way. Mexican restaurants are supposed to be that way. You know, I'm not as upset when you go to a Mexican restaurant on Cinco de Mayo and you can't get a seat. You go to an Irish pub and you can't even stand near the bar, and then some drunk sorority bitch is over there and she's passed out in the middle, and there's some guy who's peeing on the bar, and then they get drunk, they throw trash all throughout the street. You're walking down the corner in the village, and then you look, and right beside the trash can, there's vomit, because they're too drunk to actually vomit inside the trash can. And you know what it is? It's just a bunch of college bros and wannabe college bros, or too old to be college bros, but former college bros, have come into the city, and they're reliving their glory days, or they're just trying to, you know, just trying to be, super drunk and be the number one man in the frat. They start pushing each other, and then the next thing you know, fights are breaking out in Midtown, fights are breaking out in the village, fights are breaking out anywhere there's an Irish pub on St. Patrick's Day. There's going to be a fight, and you know what the cops are going to do about it? Nothing, because they're all Irish. And that is one of the biggest things that I hate about St. Patrick's Day. These people just get to do whatever they want in your neighborhood, and the cops do nothing. Why? Because they don't care, because it's St. Patrick's Day, and they're getting paid overtime anyway to do whatever the hell is that they're supposed to be doing. And it's gotten worse over the past couple of years, and I will attribute that to one reason and one reason only. Barstool has made bro culture mainstream. Everyone wants to be seen on a Barstool video on Instagram or a Barstool video on Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat. And I blame it on Barstool making bro frat culture mainstream for people who have graduated college. David Portnoy, Big Cat, KFC, I am looking at you guys. You guys have caused this. You're the reason why this has grown to epidemic proportions. And I, for one, cannot stand it. You're ruining society, but most importantly, you're ruining my Saturday.
Hi, this is Mike Coscarelli from Anxiety Now.
And Andrea Allen from the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
We just launched the brand new OG Podcast Network and wanted to let you know that you can hear ours and other great shows by going to OGPodcastNetwork.com.
Also, be sure to follow the network on social media to keep up to date with new shows, videos, and live events.
That's at OG Podcasts on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Or you can subscribe to your favorite OG podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
My special guest on How to Survive in the City this week is a woman by the name of Brittany Romano, and she is an up-and-coming sports journalist. Brittany, thanks so much for schlepping on up in studio.
Thanks for having me.
So you are practically from Canada. You're from Rochester. What brought you from upstate to New York City?
Well, so I accidentally moved to New York, which is kind of how I say it. Got an internship like 2 days after graduation and started subletting and then somehow signed a lease. And then 3 years later, I guess I live here now.
You somehow signed a lease.
I don't know. I blacked out and I lived in Yorkville for a year in a fifth floor walk-up.
With anyone else or were you by yourself?
I had a roommate. I didn't know her. She was super sweet. Also
classic.
In New York. Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
She didn't try to murder you.
Only once.
Only once.
We worked through it. It was really fun.
What did you do? What did you do to annoy her?
Oh, nothing. What could I do, honestly? In a fifth floor walk-up that was as small as this studio, it was perfect. It was really great.
Okay. So where was your internship? So like, why did you accidentally move to New York? Did you come here for journalism?
Yeah, so I had done a ton of internships in college. I was ready to do journalism. I was about to graduate. Had like 4 days before graduation, had no job, was sad and
depressed.
Classic. Applied to be a bartender, was just going to hang out in my college town for the summer and be sad. And got a call from Sports Illustrated, which is Bible for me because I'm a sports journalist. And they said, hey, can you be here on Monday? I said, oh, well, you know, I'm graduating on Saturday. I might need 24 more hours. And, you know, you don't say no to Sports Illustrated. So I showed up. I didn't have an apartment. I didn't know anyone or do anything and just never really left.
Did you live in a hotel while you were?
The morning that I was driving to New York, I got a rental car from home in Rochester. I got a rental car and I was driving in and someone called me and said, hey, I saw you had a Facebook post about needing a place. This girl, she went to John Jay, so they had the summer off, and she was like, hey, I have a basement apartment in Washington Heights. Do you want to live here for the summer? And I was
perfect.
Yeah, that sounds great. Not knowing what basement apartment or Washington Heights meant. found out really quickly.
Washington Heights, that's like practically by Washington Square Park, right?
Oh, essentially. real quick commute. My bar for commute is so low because I was like an hour away from the world for the whole summer. But hey, it's what you need to do to get here.
Okay, so your first apartment was the basement apartment in Washington Heights. How was the neighborhood? How was the culture shock? Because that's a real Latino area.
Yeah, it was good for me, actually, because coming from Rochester and then living in, I went to school in Ithaca. I was around people exactly like me and had the same ideas in me and looked like me. And
basically, you were around a bunch of white people.
Exactly. White, blonde people who had the same upbringing. And it was actually really great for me to be around people who spoke different languages and like different things and like different food. I learned a lot in that year. Learned that not everyone was out to get me.
And what'd you think? You'd walk out of your apartment, everyone's trying to kidnap you?
Well, you know what they say about New York. It's like, you know, you're going to get pickpocketed and you're going to get robbed and it's so scary. And I'm like, you know what? People are just living their life. They're too busy.
The other day on the subway, I didn't realize I didn't zip up the laptop part of my backpack.
Yeah.
And someone stopped me and went, hey, your backpack comes out.
Yes. When
they could have easily have just like taken my laptop mm-hmm. and left. And so they went, your backpack's unzipped. Because mm-hmm. they know everyone here has, you know, kind of has like has it difficult. So why take advantage?
I've had someone zip my backpack up for me and I turn around like they're trying to rob me. And they're actually, oh, no, it was unzipped. Oh, thank you. That was really
cool.
You're
so kind.
Yeah. Wow.
You went from internship. Now you're working mm-hmm. as a journalist in sports, mm-hmm. Covering golf. Mm-hmm. We won't say where. But so you're juggling all of this. And we just had International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. So, and I know being a woman's really important to you.
Yes, I'm a woman. Thank you for noticing.
First off, just what's it like trying to living as a woman in New York? Because I've only asked one former guest this, Corinne Fisher, and she's just so callous.
Yeah,
she just literally does not care.
Right.
So what's your perception of living as a woman in New York?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a tomboy through and through. I know you hear my voice right now, but I'm wearing a hat and sneakers, and that's kind of my uniform. But yeah, it's different. It's being a woman in sports is something that is challenging, and people have a lot of preconceived notions about who you are. I kind of like living in New York because you're not labeled as what your job is all the time, so I can be a different person wherever I am. If I want to be super sporty, I'm super sporty. If I want to, I don't know, put makeup on and wear a dress, like, people are like, oh, yeah, you're that hockey player. Like, you're not supposed to be wearing a dress. Like, it's fine. But, yeah, I mean, I figured it out, and I like it, and I like International Women's Day, where women support each other.
Did you do anything for it? Did you march in the streets? Was there a march?
There wasn't a march, I don't think. And I didn't do the march.
Did you do the Women's Day march?
I didn't. I was actually working.
Good for you. Good for you. Make that paycheck.
I really did. Rent. I missed out. I really wish that I went, because I feel like that's one of those things that you'll look back and say, you know, where were you when this happened? And I'll say I was at my side hustle trying to pay my student loans off that I've worked so hard for.
You know, but you'll feel a lot better when you're in the penthouse and everyone who was at that march is somewhere else.
No, I don't want to take away from the march. I think I'm a huge supporter of it. I think it's really great. But you know, you gotta.
Well, what do you get labeled at as a woman in sports?
Yeah.
What's the typical label? Because I, as a guy and as a gay man, like, first off, I'm not supposed to like sports, really.
No,
that's the general thing. But I didn't grow up as openly gay, so I played baseball, tennis.
Right.
I played basketball one year,
so
but
sporty.
I'm so white. It really matters.
I mean, picturing you playing basketball.
Just this tall, lanky, awkward-looking 12-year-old trying to play basketball. Oh, no. And they saw me dribble, and it was...
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's great.
No, it was hard. Were, oh, yeah, that's horrible. So I really just focused on tennis mm-hmm. and baseball. But, you know, we're supposed to play sports, but when you're a woman who's loves sports and a self-proclaimed tomboy... What kind of looks do you normally get?
Yeah. Well, so immediately you don't know anything. That's one thing I've learned in both social and professional settings is you immediately come in and people assume that you don't know anything about sports and you have to prove it. and you have to come in and, you know, someone says, oh, you work in golf, you know, what's your handicap? Which is essentially the way that you know how good someone is at golf. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I know more than you know about golf, or, you know, I know just as much as you do. It doesn't matter how good I am. It doesn't matter. I can't name stats from who won 14 years ago at this specific course. Like, that's not what it means. So you have to prove what you know about sports. You have to prove that you deserve to be there. And I go back and I said, I worked my ass off.
You can say anything. It's a podcast.
Great, perfect. I worked my ass off. You know,
just because you know stats doesn't mean you know sports.
Right.
You know the stats. I know plenty of people that know baseball stats.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I guess they are huge baseball fans, but it doesn't make them a journalist.
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing is, any guy ever, social or professional, assume that, like, you have to know what they know about sports to be knowledgeable in the field. I said, no, I've been in this since I was a kid. This is exactly what I want to do. I'm not dumb. I don't need to prove this to you. I deserve to be here just as much as anyone else. So that's the first thing is they assume you're dumb. And assume you're wrong and you have to prove it, and that's frustrating. And then they assume that you knew someone to get there, or you slept with someone to get there, like, that doesn't happen. It's like not really a thing, really. I mean, it is.
I mean, I'm sure it happens some, but right. I always think we blow that out of proportion.
Yeah.
Like, especially, you know, in the wake of Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
I can't tell you the number of not men necessarily defending Harvey, but just like in general, you know, well, women always throw themselves at their boss. I think we overinflate that number. I don't think it happens as much as we think it does.
No, I mean, because we all, if you want to be in sports, you're not going to go in and be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to, you know, wear a low cut shirt and get this job. Women are busy. We got stuff to do. I'm not going to go in and try to sleep with someone to get your job. You know what I mean? I'm going to work my ass off for that job, and then I'm going to get it, and then I'm going to wear a turtleneck so that you don't ever look at my chest in work ever. You know what I mean? Like, I buy specific clothing to be like, you don't even know who I am in this outfit.
Don't look at me. I'm androgynous.
Don't look at me. I want you to know me for my brain, and I'm going to kick ass. So, like.
Also, it's like men automatically assume when they make that statement that women are just have such little self-respect.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's like, you think all women have that little self-respect?
Wait,
how dumb are you?
Wait, and dude, look in the mirror. I mean, you're balding in your mid-40s. I'm not going to sleep with you. I don't care how good the job is. Like, hello, standards. Like, give me a break. Come on, I can get this job off of my brains. I don't need your help. Thank you.
Well, what's the outside pressure? Because that's kind of internal pressure when you're looking. But how do people, when you tell them that you're a sports journalist, like who aren't in the journalism or media field, what's their reaction?
They ask me. So I guess the first thing is I tell them the outlet that I work for, and they say, What do you do? And I say,
golf fashion.
I write for them. Right. What do you do? Oh, you know. They assume I'm in sales. They assume I'm in marketing. They assume I'm some sort of administrative position, which is fine. There's nothing against that. But they never assume that I write or I'm a reporter, because that's just not something that people believe or see me doing or see women doing. And then the second question is, oh, do you golf? Do you like golf? I'm like, yeah, I've committed my entire career to golf. I think that I like it. I think that I've played. You know, it's like going up to...
May not be great at it, but,
right.
You know,
it's
I know the ins and outs.
Coming and meeting you and being like, oh, you work in radio. Like, do you like to talk?
No.
Is that something you like to do?
I hate talking.
Going to a librarian. Oh, do you like books? You would never say that. So why do people have to ask me if I like golf when clearly
it's like going to a spin
career.
Studio. Do you like spin?
Right.
No.
Right. But like, no, I absolutely hate it, but
well,
I've committed my life
I
to it.
I hated it.
Yeah. I went to 6 years of school for this, but no, I hate it. It's really bad. I'm sorry. I accidentally came here. Oops, how'd that happen? Like, goodness gracious. Like, come on, I'm 26 years old. I didn't, like, accidentally do this and be like, I hate it. Help me. Like, this is my cry for help. Get me out of here. I hate golf.
I was waiting for someone to ask me.
I'm just so timid. I didn't know how to get out of it. Like, oh my goodness. The next person that asks me to play golf, I'm going to be like, blink twice if you're stuck. Like, jeez.
So the perception is, because we see people, well, the really famous one, although she's not, I don't know what she's doing anymore, but Erin Andrews.
Right.
I mean, I never really thought her personality was great on the air, but I never really thought she was dumb.
No, and so that's the tough thing is...
But so, like, we've already had her on television.
Right.
So what more do we need? Obviously, we need a lot more.
Right. And so I think the perception was that if you're a woman in sports journalism, you're a side sideline reporter. And nothing against that. I think it's really important for women in this industry to support however you're doing it. If you're beautiful, great, go on camera. If you're not beautiful and you're intelligent, also go on camera. Like, who really cares?
So you're going to start a podcast?
I'm going to rival your podcast because I'm so good at talking, obviously. But no, it's like, you know, everyone likes to just shit on Erin Andrews. And I'm like, you know what? She got there. However she did, whatever happened, she happens to be beautiful. But let's, like, give her the credit that she has broken through in this industry, and it's great. And I think it sucks because a lot of sideline reporters get dumb questions. And, like, you know, you go up to someone, they just won the Super Bowl, and it's like, hey, Tom Brady, like, how's it feel? And I'm like, come on. Like, let's give these women some content to ask about, like, some good stuff. But the athletes can't answer great questions. They're stressed out.
And they're dumb.
And dumb. But we just immediately assume that it's the sideline reporter who is just like, look, arm candy.
In the defense of the audience, they tend to think the same thing of any time a male newscaster asks a dumb question of a politician.
Oh, totally.
It's never the politician who can't handle the question.
Oh,
it's
always
you ask the wrong one.
Absolutely.
Which you kind of put yourself in the position when you go into this field of being judged.
Right.
But you were always into sports.
Yes.
So what sports did you play as a kid? Or even now? Because I know you're very physically active.
I do.
And
I
your athleisure.
I like my athleisure. Yes, always in athleisure. Ready to play any sport. No, I grew up, my first sport was hockey, ice hockey.
Damn, you're tough.
Which is always surprising to everyone. They're like, no, not figure skating. Like, no, ice hockey. Ice hockey turned into...
which is good, because you would have been the next Tonya Harding.
Yo, God bless. Honestly, I love her comeback tour right now. I think it's so awesome that she's like trying to get good press right now.
Look, it's amazing bless how up. They've turned that into from like you're white trash and beat someone to you're a victim.
But everyone like shit on her for so long that
can we blame Nancy Grace for her comeback? I mean, just because Nancy Grace is given the perception that blonde white women are victims all the time,
right? I can't even go on from that. But anyway, I didn't see Itania, but I it's on my list. In the defense of figure skating, my mother put me in figure skating for a season, and I got so frustrated.
Were you bad at it?
No, I got confused and bored, and
I could see that
I'm not very coordinated. So I went back to ice hockey.
Well, yeah, hockey takes a lot of coordination.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts going on.
But I guess not. Figure skating is a sport.
Yeah,
I will say it's a sport. Totally. It takes a lot of talent.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a different kind of coordination.
Right.
Because I don't think Adam Rippon could play hockey.
I don't think so. I know. But I do think like Michelle Kwan could play hockey.
Hell yeah. That's one tough
hero.
Woman. That's one tough woman. So hockey. And then
that turned into... field hockey, that turned into lacrosse, did a little softball, did a little volleyball, did a little anything that they would let me do, I just did it. Ended up going to college for field hockey and lacrosse. Lacrosse stuck through college, and then in grad school got back into ice hockey again. And I've been playing ice hockey in the city because it's amazing, and you can play at Chelsea Piers, which is really cool. And that's the one sport that I'll never give up. It's like the thing that makes me the happiest in the entire world. It's like the best sport.
So who would you look up to play when you were playing sports? Because again, as a male, I have plenty to choose from.
Yeah.
Like I always looked up to Andre Agassi, Pete Sampras, Lance Armstrong while he wasn't
in his glory days.
For a while.
Well, it's actually so funny because watching the Winter Olympics, that's always been my thing. A lot of the ex-athletes are coming back. Like we just brought up Michelle Kwan. She was coming back to the last Winter Olympics, which is really cool. The women's hockey team has always been a huge influence on me.
But outside of the Olympics, you don't hear about them. Kind of like outside of the World Cup or the Olympics, we don't hear about women's soccer.
Absolutely.
But it's way more successful than international men's U.S. soccer.
But, I mean, you always did have, like, Mia Hamm and Abby Wambach were two big soccer players that, you know... As a woman in sports, my parents were very supportive of it. They found those outlets for me to go find them. So we would go to like their expedition games and like different things or like sign autographs and whatnot. So I was always really in that. And I mean, I have enough male athletes that I look up to too. And that wasn't different for me.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't look up to male athletes, but we do see that there's, you know, for gay people, if there's someone who's actually homosexual to look up to,
absolutely,
it's a little easier to relate. Yeah. Just so I assume it's the same with.
Oh, yeah, totally. There's just a lot less for both of those type of people to look
for. I mean,
for.
Yeah. So, like, how many professional women's sports are there?
There's more than you think. They just don't get the attention, like, and they don't get the money.
Like, other than tennis, I couldn't tell you one that's on major TV networks that
no.
people actually watch.
Not at all.
I mean, guess LPGA.
LPGA, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't watch golf.
Right,
just
right.
Clear. No, I don't watch golf.
Fair.
So I don't, but I don't know any men that watch golf that also watch the women's,
mm-hmm.
but I guess there are, but I know that most people that watch tennis watch women and men.
Right. And I do think, not to get like too deep on that, but tennis is definitely a sport in which they've made it a lot more approachable to men to watch, you know, skirts. It helps. And I'm not saying it's not in like any kind of like sexual way at all. It's just like it's more acceptable for men to watch a woman kind of that is dressed like that. Whereas if you see a woman playing hockey and like getting hurt and getting pushed around, it's like immediately like, oh, no.
See, I didn't even think, I guess I would totally, that totally makes sense. But what I thought kind of helps is like, because people really only watch the Grand Slams,
right,
unless you're a huge fan.
Yeah.
The way that they do the schedules,
mm-hmm.
you watch a women's match and then right after it a men's. You watch a men's and then right after the woman's.
Right.
So I always kind of thought that helped. But mm-hmm. the skirt thing, like, I definitely see where that could help, because why else would figure skating be so popular during the Winter Olympics? Mm-hmm. Now, it only happens once every 4 years,
right,
but still, I mean, I don't think, you know, we're not breaking down the door to watch Women's World Cup.
Right. Yeah.
Which we're really successful at. Mm-hmm. And if you want to actually celebrate a U.S. soccer victory,
right,
you should probably watch women's soccer.
Well, and it's the same thing as the women's ice hockey team just won. And that was a huge win. That win is, in the hockey world, comparable to Miracle.
Which
no one realizes that, but that was a huge win. People are like, oh yeah, some, you know, the girls won. And it's like, no, that was a ginormous leap for women's sports and USA sports.
Yeah, I guess the only difference is they had won silver the last four times.
Right.
But Canada is such a force to be reckoned mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah.
But so you're looking on both to men and women mm-hmm. in sports. When you decided, or when you figured out you wanted to be a journalist, mm-hmm. was there like a particular female role models you looked up to? Or did you just, I want to talk sports, I want to report on sports?
Yeah, honestly, no. I never really compared myself to a woman in sports. I knew I wanted to be a sports journalist in fourth grade, so there weren't a lot of people for me to look up to at all. Until I really started getting older and realizing what this industry was and who there was in there. And I've been able to meet a lot of my role models. Like, I had one of my professors was actually someone that I looked up to for years, and she taught my class in grad school. So that was really cool. But I didn't even realize that she was a role model until maybe mid-high school. So there wasn't really a lot of people for me to look up to, which I think helped, because I don't compare myself to anyone. I never thought that I needed to be like the beautiful Erin Andrews and sit on the sideline. I always just knew what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to be someone. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do, which helped.
Well, that takes a lot of self-gumption to not...
Yeah.
So you didn't really look up to anyone. I feel kind of the same way. My parents didn't listen to talk radio, so I didn't even... Until I interned, I didn't even really know what talk radio was. So I didn't grow up wanting to be a talk radio personality or host a podcast or do anything. I just kind of fell into it.
Yeah. And I'm sure if I, you know, when I go to sleep tonight, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't mention this person and this person. And yes, there are a lot of people who have molded who I've become, and I've read them and studied them. And I mean, golf journalists alone, there are so many that I work with even now mm-hmm. who I'm like, you are amazing. You are what I wanted to be when I was a kid. Anyone who wrote for Sports Illustrated were the people that I wanted to be. But I never thought that I would be with them, because it was the old boys club and it was all 56-year-old men sitting around smoking cigars and drinking brandy, and I was like, obviously that's not going to be who I am.
Do you think it's changing?
Yeah, I do. It's changing because there's so many more types of media out there now that it's not the old boys club, because they can't afford that and they don't have that. And there's these websites that are coming around and doing just as good journalism as the legacy brands.
Yeah, no, we're definitely seeing that because the internet has just made everything so
mm-hmm.
available, and if you want to start something, just start it.
Yeah.
You know, and just do it and call yourself a sports journalist mm-hmm. until you learn the ropes.
Yeah.
But we are seeing that the brands that are holding on to the old boys club, aka ESPN, mm-hmm. they're not doing well.
Yeah.
They're and obviously there's a lot more to it than just that, like, you know, ad dollar, like mm-hmm. all these different things, but they're laying off people left and right. Mm-hmm. And they're all, frankly, in my opinion, overpaid men.
Mm-hmm.
Overpaid men. I mean, again, talent should be paid what talent should be paid, mm-hmm. but sometimes, like, you're making, like, let's just take an instance, not in sports, but just in journalism in general. Matt Lauer
mm-hmm.
Was making $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
Hoda Kotb gets his job. She makes $5
million. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just the way the industry is going. But the good old boys, the old boys club mm-hmm. was like, oh, you're worth $25 million.
Right. And they encouraged each other and they just kind of loved
you're
each
awesome.
Other. Right. Around a circle. And it was like a shoulder padding club. That, you know, you can be at a company for 20 years and you just get paid more and more and more and you do your one thing and you're really great at your one thing. But now, and I would like to give credit to women, honestly, because I think, no offense, we're better at multitasking. We come in and we do 14 things, but we're not in the old boys club. So we're going to, you know, we get paid less because of the standard and the times and the budgets and all that stuff. And we're doing more and we're not as respected as much as the old boys club because I don't like to drink brandy, unfortunately.
Well, you should honestly try brandy. It's pretty good. I'm not in the old boys club, but I love a good brandy.
Yeah? You can join the old boys club. You know that, right?
I can.
If you like brandy, that's really
they let gay people in?
Yeah, I think so. There's okay. a certain boys club.
Okay.
You can find, Google that boys club.
I don't know if I want to be in that boys club. Okay, we're going to pivot because I don't know if people will be able to tell, but we know each other outside of this. And so I have a personal beef with you because we're coming up on a very important holiday this weekend, St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-mm.
And there is few things I hate more than anything in this city than days where people from the borough, from the outer boroughs or from the from Jersey or Westchester get to come in and just get drunk off their ass and then go home and leave New York in a wreck. And I have a beef with you because you're one of the few people I know that is proud of the fact that you not only do St. Patrick's Day hard, but you go out during SantaCon.
Oh, shit. I didn't see that one coming. Not a shame.
And I just need you right now to either apologize or defend why you think it's okay that we let these suburban rail people come in and then you join in and ruin and besmirch the good name of the Irish pubs in this city.
All right. Well, first off, I am Irish, so literally can do whatever I want.
Welcome to the club.
Yes, as everyone else is. In terms of, you know, bridge and tunnel situation going on here, I mean, I'm not from here, so if someone who a true New Yorker wants to be like, yo, you came from Rochester and you're calling yourself a New Yorker now, like, yeah, you're right. But like, who cares? Someone who grew up in Jersey, grew up in Connecticut, like, they can come and have fun. They work just as hard as we do. They probably work here, most likely.
I mean, probably.
And I don't know. Like, those things are fun. I have no shame. Everyone is so down on SantaCon and St. Patty's, and it's... Honestly, we all work super hard. We deserve a day to just be drunk and have fun being drunk with other people. Who cares where they're from? You know how many tourists are here? They're the worst. I'd rather have someone from New Jersey than someone from Kansas getting on the wrong way with a subway and be like, is this uptown? And I'm like, get off the subway. Like, at least Jersey knows how to work the L train.
I mean, I guess, assuming that the PATH or NJ Transit actually makes it into the city.
Assuming they don't get stuck on the Amtrak.
So you don't feel bad at all about just going and getting plastered.
No, and I'm going to wear a Santa hat. And I had like light up Santa lights around my neck this year. You know, super fun. I went to boozy brunch like the basic girl I am. I went out in the Lower East Side. I also don't go out a ton either. So I need a day drink because I'm a grandma and I need to be in bed by 10 o'clock. So day drinking for SantaCon, I went to karaoke. I probably sang some Whitney song horribly. I probably sang Britney Spears. There is no shame in me whatsoever. I'm a self-respecting woman, and I can be as basic as I want with my matcha tea and SantaCon brunch.
Can I?
A reach.
I'm going to say something that's going to completely catch you off guard.
Can't wait.
I think that St. Patrick's Day and SantaCon is white privilege at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Oh, I love the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
The minute that they got rowdy and started to drink, raped a couple women in the park, the NYPD shuts that shit down, and there is no alcohol allowed on the parade route.
Okay, but just because you make the rule.
But a bunch of drunk Irish guys walk around and throw up on every street corner, and they go, oh, it's okay.
Okay.
And it's because the cops are Irish.
Didn't catch me off guard, because I totally agree with that. And I'm not saying that that's okay, and I'm saying that that's right, but I'm saying I also drink at the Puerto Rican Day Parade. I love it. And just because it's not allowed doesn't mean that no one's drinking. They're just smarter than the white privilege assholes. St. Patty's Day kids that are vomiting on the PATH train, and like, they should close the PATH train, honestly. Like, that, I understand that. But, yo, Puerto Rican Day Parade, about it. I love it. I go every year.
You go every year?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, my. I hate
so
parades in the city.
Oh,
I
yeah.
hate parades, and I actually leave the city during Gay Pride. Because I hate it, because it goes right by my apartment, and it ruins my weekend. Mm-hmm. It's loud. There's too many drugs.
How old are you?
I'm like 40.
No, I get it. Parades are the worst, and it's like a reason for people to just be idiots. But I don't know. It's like celebrating that stuff. People look at New York and being like, oh, Gay Pride Parade, that's a huge day. Look how many people are celebrating and are happy and are having fun and, you know, vomiting in a garbage on the corner, but still, it gives like little Tommy from upstate New York
pride,
hope.
Oh,
yeah,
look, I could be like that look, man on his jockstrap and angel wings.
I can puke in a taxi too and get charged $100. I'm gonna be that someday. Good for you, Tommy.
Now you also have another holiday coming up. That'd be Cinco de Mayo. Coming up in a couple of months.
No shame on my Cinco de Mayo celebrations of art. I took off work for it.
Do you feel that you're culturally appropriating Cinco de Mayo?
I think that I am aware. I'm aware of my privilege. I definitely check my privilege.
Check it at the door.
I check
it at the door.
I am. If someone wants to call me an asshole, that's great. See, because I am.
See, I wear my privilege on my sleeve, and then I literally just check it off.
Oh, you just check, okay,
I just check it
I'm
off.
So glad you have that
white,
process.
Male.
No, yeah,
gay,
totally.
If
you want to hate on me, that's fine. I love margaritas. Well, but, okay, so here's the thing, too. I think there's a line between appropriating culture and celebrating culture. It really depends on who you're talking to, what situation. You can do it respectfully. You know, if you're going to go and be rude about someone's culture, yeah, you deserve to get shit on. But if you're going to go and, like, celebrate with people who are also celebrating.
Yeah, drink, like, a big margarita fishbowl pitcher thing.
Right. I'm not going.
Perfectly fine.
I'm not claiming that I know everything about Mexican culture, but I am going in being like, I'm not going to be like, gracias. Like, that's not cool. You know, like, learn some Spanish, have some respect, and be okay with it. I mean, my friend had a Chinese New Year banquet the other day that I went to. She brought me to.
Oh, yeah. That's another big one for you.
That is a big one for me. Well, and I didn't know a lot about the New Year and the culture, and they were doing so many interesting things that there's a way to celebrate that well, and there's a way to be disrespectful. And I think if you take the time to learn and listen and like have like a nice dialogue with something about what Cinco de Mayo, what Chinese New Year means to them, then you're learning, and that's like how you're being okay with it. So I give myself a lot more credit because, yeah, I'm basic and I like margaritas and I like to celebrate parades and everything. But I also take the time to learn and read about it and try not to be disrespectful.
Did you guys eat dog?
See, that's where the asshole comes out. No, the food was really good. There was a fish head on the table, which threw me. But I asked. I said, you know, tell me about that. You know, I'm not going to immediately just, like, put it on my Snapchat and be like, whoa, what is it? Like,
I know you. You went, the fuck is that?
I did. And then I had less of an explain. No, I learned that those like, things that go around, like, they look like dragons. It's actually called a lion troop. Doesn't look like a lion. looks like a dragon.
Yeah, that looks like a dragon.
It's a lion.
They should probably redo the artwork.
Yeah, like there's some branding that looks a little off there, but I learned about it and I asked about it. And that's the thing is like, ideally, no one's going to fault you for asking and trying to learn about it. So if I'm going to go in, like, I'm not, you know, I don't know. I don't claim to know everything about everyone's culture, but I'm curious and I try to respect it. I could totally see someone being like, oh, like you're celebrating Cinco de Mayo. You don't even know what it is. I'm like, okay, well, tell me. And then let's have a margarita while we talk about it. Because I like tequila. Respect.
So now, we already established you're a lush.
Sorry, Mom.
let's talk about what would be like a perfect Sunday brunch.
Ooh. Perfect Sunday brunch. Well, bottomless.
Of course.
Okay, but this is
my friend went to a brunch yesterday for a going away party for his friend's girlfriend, and they didn't drink. And I said, "Why did you go?"
It's breakfast.
And I was like, "That's I wouldn't go to a brunch where you didn't drink."
I'm sorry. What did you do? What did they just sit there and eat?
They ate food.
I'm feeling awkward just thinking about it.
Yeah, right. I'm like trying to. How do you socialize with people without alcohol?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's not even socializing.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Like being on a podcast, I guess.
Well, that's what you think. I had a...
oh, you put Kahlua in your coffee?
Yeah.
Damn, I missed out. No, but okay, so...
Sunday brunch.
This is really important for Sunday brunch, is having the ability to switch cocktails mid-brunch. Because I don't like committing to 2 hours to mimosas. That's bubbly. That's sugary. I would like to switch between mimosas and Bodies at my leisure. Huge, okay. Huge issue.
So you need to be
brunches.
Able to switch between
yeah.
drinks.
Okay, a lot of places don't let that do it.
That's true.
And I want more people than feels appropriate in the restaurant that I'm at. So I'm just like really awkward about how loud we are. That's always a thing. And I don't know. It's just fun because I think the cool thing about brunch is it's during the day. So you're not wasting any time. And then you can go out and kind of just gallivant around the city. And those are like, that's why it's worth being in the city, is like when you're a little tipsy and you go to Soho and just go shopping. I never do that.
Well, yeah, but you would never do that on your paycheck sober.
Right, exactly. And so it's like, cool, guys, like, you want to go to that, you know, that frozen bar on a roof in Midtown? I would never go to that ice bar in Midtown. But you know what? I go to Bottomless Brunch and I'm like, yeah, let's do the most touristy thing we can find. Because you're like uninhibited and you're not embarrassed about the stupid stuff that you want to do. I'm like, yeah, let's go to Times Square. That's like an awesome idea. Last time I went to Bottomless Brunch, I ended up at a Broadway show. I went to go see...
I thought you were going to say Olive Garden.
You were going to say... probably was my first idea. And then we ended up going to a Broadway show. And it was a very poorly reviewed Broadway show. Everyone hated it.
What did you go see?
I honestly couldn't tell you the title. It was...
SpongeBob?
Not that bad.
Hey.
I heard that was good, unfortunately.
I want to go see it.
I didn't grow up on SpongeBob. I didn't have cable.
This is another thing that we got to hit before you go. So just so you know, Brittany is cheap. Brittany.
And poor.
Brittany is cheap. Brittany is poor. Mm-hmm. Brittany's a lot of things. Brittany, when I first met, how long ago?
Two and a half years?
I've only been in the city for 3 years. All right. So 2.5.
You moved here for me.
That's right. Well, yeah. If I was not in a relationship with my boyfriend, Brittany and I would be in a sexless relationship.
Absolutely. We'd have different apartments, different beds, and a lot of bickering.
But still in a relationship, nonetheless. Are you dating someone? Yeah, Brittany.
This is my boyfriend. He has a boyfriend, but we're working through it.
I first met her, and I'm trying to like relate because we're working a shift together at one of my former side hustles, and we're talking, blah, blah, blah. And I bring up a show on Netflix. I'm like, yeah, I think it was House of Cards. And who hasn't seen House of Cards? And I'm like, so, did you see the new season of House of Cards yet? And her response was, no, I don't have Netflix.
Okay.
So I need an update.
Okay.
Are you still currently without streaming and cable?
No, I don't have cable because that's offensive. no. Okay, in my own defense, I didn't grow up on cable.
So I've always had.
I grew up with like the basic channels, like Reading Rainbow and Arthur, and that was it. And the news we watched.
Zoom.
Zoom. Oh my God.
See, I had cable, and I was always watching Zoom and Arthur after school, but after Dragon Ball Z.
No, no, no.
Well, I had to watch Dragon Ball Z first.
Nuh-uh. Go out and play outside. Anyway, as of 2 years ago, my roommate and one of my friends came to visit and logged into her Netflix and left it on my iPad, and I had Netflix, and I've watched it for 2 years, and I've wasted so much of my life watching.
But only on your iPad.
Well, I learned how to stream it. After a while, we learned how to stream it. I was watching on her Netflix under some kid named Danny, who is not in her family. So thank you, Danny, for letting me use your Netflix for 2 years. I'm a part of the world now. But I'm also just, my brain is mush. I come home and I watch 2 hours Netflix.
What would you normally do?
I don't know. Read a book or something.
God, you're a loser.
Do make food. Now I like get takeout because like I need to go watch my Netflix show.
See, you got to learn how to balance it out. I cook. No. I cook for the whole week on Sunday.
No, I got to do podcasts on Sunday. So busy.
I'm just so busy.
Like, I have a lot of plans. Right. Take out.
So now, since you're in the world of Netflix and you're new, mm-hmm. and so you're behind by like 6 years.
Right.
What's your favorite show?
Well, I watched all of them. I went really quick. I mean, Kimmy Schmidt was great, obviously. Well, and I also, as of, this is very exciting, got my first HBO login.
And you just started watching Game of Thrones.
As of last night, I watched my first Game of Thrones episode.
Oh, boy.
It's very shocking. I did not realize what I was getting into.
How many butts have you seen so far?
Oh, just so many butts. And heads being decapitated. And
wait till the end of this season.
Oh, my goodness. We see, that's the other thing about Game of Thrones is everyone gives me a spoiler. I'm watching and my roommate walks in and is like, oh, he dies. I'm like, when? Oh, season 14. Oh, great. And now I don't have to watch all 14 seasons because the main character dies or something. I don't know. So that's great. I'm going to go read a book now.
you're not enjoying your world of the streaming?
I'm trying. I mean, I can now talk to people. I can be social. And someone's like, oh,
you need a lot of help with that.
Yeah, I could use some social
skills.
Sadly, Netflix doesn't teach social skills. I just like try to be like Kimmy Schmidt or like try to be like Amy Schumer, and I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm just like them. No, you're not, Brittany. You're not funny.
All right, one final question.
Mm-hmm.
So you accidentally moved here, mm-hmm. and you're kind of making it work. Yet to be determined. Any advice for someone who's looking to move to New York?
Do it. Honestly, I mean,
you're the first person that has said that.
Just figure it out. I mean, that's the thing with New York is like, if you're here, you're going to make it work. If you're here, if you've made the choice and you go out there and you're bold enough to move here, you're meant to be here. Get a sublet, get an internship, get 4 side hustles. We know the side hustle world.
Too well.
Don't be afraid that it's like expensive. Go live up in Washington Heights for $700 a month and, you know, commute in and work at a gym and then go to your other job. It's not that hard.
Yeah,
just do it.
The only thing I really tell people is if you're going to move to New York, move to New York. And mm-hmm. I don't really include Staten Island. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to move to Staten Island, mm-hmm. you're still in New York. But like Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, anywhere you can afford mm-hmm. in the boroughs. Just don't move to Jersey. Don't move to Westchester. And nothing against those places. Like, we shit on them all the time. Mm-hmm. But I have friends that live there. But if you're going to say you're moving to New York, like if you're moving across country, mm-hmm. move to some part of the city.
Yeah,
that's the big, like, so like if you could only afford out in Bed-Stuy or up in Inwood, live there. Don't move to Jersey for the bigger house.
I have no problem with Jersey City. I think that's fine. I think there's some people that want to come to New York and have the opportunities but can't really hang. I mean, this place beats you down, and when you're at your lowest, it'll beat you down even harder.
Don't I know.
We've all known that. You move here, you don't know anyone, you don't have any money, and this place is just going to kill you.
My self-esteem, since I have moved here, has plummeted.
Oh, my God. But then you get to a point where you're low, you're low, you're low, and then at one point you're just like, you know what? This train's going to be delayed, and this, you know, peddler is going to come over and like yell at me in my face. And you know what? It's fine.
That's okay. That's okay.
Right?
That's okay.
Because last night I went and like to saw the Empire State Building. I don't know. Something cool, insert cool, uniquely New York thing here, you know? And that's cooler than I would have ever had. And I love it. I've learned to love it. I've just started loving New York. It's a new thing we're trying.
I still hate it.
See, I've hated it actively until maybe last year. I've been here 3 years.
Really? So I've been here 3. So,
it's coming.
Hopefully I'll learn to
wait. One day, you're just going to be walking down the street and be like, I love it.
I have a love-hate relationship, so we'll see how it goes. We will see how it goes. But,
I will.
But, Brittany, we are out of time. So thanks so much for joining me on How to Survive in the City.
Yeah.
If people want to follow you on social media for whatever reason, where can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah.
So we can keep up with your sports journalism career.
Oh, yeah. You guys want to hear about golf? It's Brittany _ Romano, or Instagram, Brittany Romano, with no space in between it.
Her Instagram is great, by the way.
A lot of buddy on it. A lot of Justin B. Love on it.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? This is probably the biggest mistake I've ever made on this podcast. I've had a woman on who's defending going out for St. Patrick's Day and SantaCon. Man, just when I thought this podcast couldn't get any lower. Thanks so much, constant listeners, for checking us out each and every week. Your dedication is does not go unnoticed. Again, I appreciate each and every one of you that listen every week. If you want to stay in touch with the show, hit me up on Twitter at JustBuddyLove. Hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/HowToSurviveInTheCity. You can stay in touch that way. Send us a message. Send us send an idea of a person that you would want to be on, that you would want us to talk to. And also, if you have a great New York story, message me, and we'll see if we can work out a time to get you on the podcast. And until next Tuesday, and especially over this weekend, having to deal with these drunk and rowdy bridge and tunnel hoodlums, good luck out there.